The Virginia Education Association sponsors Virginia Public Radio on the air and online.
When settlers first arrived in what's now the southeastern United States, they found 90 million acres of mature pines, the perfect material for home and ship construction, and something that had to come down so the newcomers could farm. Today, only 3% of that ecosystem remains. The Nature Conservancy's Brian Van Yerden stands in the middle of a large preserve between Petersburg and Norfolk, listening to a low, rustling sound he had to explain during a hike with his daughter Abigail.
She was on my shoulders, and we were walking through here. She said, "Dad, I hear the ocean." And of course, what she was hearing was not the ocean. We're about 80 miles away from the ocean. What she was hearing is that wonderful roll of wind through the canopy. And it's not something you can hear everywhere.
And it's rare to hear the call of the red-cockaded woodpecker, a small black-and-white bird with a black crown and, in males, a spot of red above their white cheeks. They're remarkable birds, raising babies collectively with helper birds joining parents to feed the young. And they're the only woodpecker to nest in live trees, mature pines infected with a fungus that makes the wood soft. Birds make a 3 to 4 inch hole and then excavate a cavity where they can lay eggs and raise young. They also tap into reserves of sticky tree sap, spreading it along the bark outside the hole. That, says research biologist Mike Wilson, keeps rat snakes and other predators away from eggs and baby birds.
I've seen snakes climb red-cockaded woodpecker trees heading towards their cavities and then hit that sap area and just turn around and go back down the tree.
But other factors have taken a toll, especially the loss of old trees. 85-year-old Mitchell Bird is an ornithologist and founder of the Center for Conservation Biology in Williamsburg. He documented the progressive decline of red-cockaded woodpeckers in Virginia.
Even when they were on the endangered list, the habitat was being cut away. And I was actually up at the Wakefield Diner one day having breakfast, and I saw a logging truck come by with two logs with woodpecker holes in them.
By 2002, only 11 birds were believed to remain in Virginia, and just two breeding pairs, each needing 200 acres to forage. That's when the Nature Conservancy stepped in. It bought 3,200 acres of forest and began restoring the Piney Grove Preserve, using controlled, low-level fires to remove weeds and brush that had grown over the forest floor. Years ago, Van Yerden says, lightning did that job.
Those lightning strikes historically would start wildfires that would sweep for days across thousands and thousands of acres.
That cleared the land, making way for one of the most biologically diverse forest systems in North America.
40 different plant species have been documented in a square meter.
Once the rich forest floor was back, there were plenty of grubs and insects for the woodpeckers, and they were able to raise all the babies that hatched. Before, they often let one or more nestlings starve. Again, the Center for Conservation Biology's Mike Wilson.
If conditions go bad, bad weather, low insect densities, they'll let one of those young perish to ensure the safety of the last one or two.
The Nature Conservancy also began making nesting cavities for the birds. Land steward Bobby Klontz says that may have saved lives.
It takes, on average, 2 to 5 years for a woodpecker to create a natural cavity. That's when they're at their most vulnerable. They're exposed to the elements and to other potential predators. So we go out and jumpstart that new territory establishment by using these artificial cavities. We climb the tree, cut a box into the tree, insert this, and then we'll putty over it. And they've got a pre-made home.
They also reinforce the entrance so southern flying squirrels and larger woodpeckers can't enlarge the hole and take over the space. Because the population of red-cockaded woodpeckers had fallen so low, the Nature Conservancy was concerned about a lack of genetic diversity, so it imported 25 birds from North Carolina. And today, there's a thriving group of more than 50 red-cockaded woodpeckers in Piney Grove. To keep tabs on them, biologist Brian Watts climbed 6 stackable ladders to a nest 50 feet above the forest floor, fished out 2 tiny babies, tucked them into a cloth pouch, and carried them back down for a checkup. He laid the pink nestlings on a burgundy bath towel, where they stretched and complained. After a few seconds, one of them seemed to collapse.
Is he all right?
He's probably asleep. They're tired all the time because they're growing so fast, it just takes all their energy just to grow.
The field team weighed, photographed, and banded each bird, then replaced the babies in their nest. Klontz says the timing was critical. The birds must be 5 to 10 days old when their legs are long enough for banding and their eyes are closed.
Once they open their eyes, they can detect that it's not their parents coming to feed them, and they lie flat in the bottom of that cavity, and they're difficult to remove.
At this age, they seem vulnerable, but they're actually strong and healthy.
This first nestling weighed out at 36 grams. It's a nice, healthy size for this age of bird.
The scientists have done this dozens of times and have never lost a bird. They'll continue to monitor the babies using something called a peeper scope, a camera on an extendable pole that can look into nesting cavities and take pictures. It's a device that's getting a lot of mileage lately. This group of woodpeckers, which had been producing 8 or 9 fledglings annually, is now up to 25 babies a year. I'm Sandy Houseman.